Well, thank you and good morning to you all. It's lovely to see you all, to hear your voices. And I'm going to share on another of our values as a church. Our shared values as a church are woven into all we do. And one of these values is three simple words that have huge consequences as to how we live our lives. Now, those words are joy, thankfulness, and forgiveness. And I've got a very short time to do not an exhaustive study, but to scratch the surface as to what they mean. And then encourage you to look forward into the power of these three words. So let's crack on. But I wonder, have you ever encountered someone who's really only happy when they're miserable? Or if there's a negative side, yeah, they'll find it. They'd rather find something to criticize than something to praise. These sort of people are draining, aren't they? And actually, they use enormous energy and effort to be miserable. Well, Wendy reminded us on Wednesday night in the prayer meeting. She said, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And when what we focus on determines who we are. Our attitude determines our altitude, to use business speak. Even a forced smile, science tells us, even a forced smile will make us feel better. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 says, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. I want you to focus on the good stuff, that we would find treasure within these three words, joy, thankfulness, and forgiveness. So let's look firstly at joy. There are 25 different Hebrew words and 10 Greek words that make up all 331 references to joy in the Bible. And you think we struggle with love with just four words for them. I wonder, if I asked you to define joy, most of you will probably give words like happiness or contentment or delight. And those words define the emotion of joy, but they don't actually reflect the source of the emotion. Having joy includes feeling good and a vibrant happiness. But joy, in its fuller spiritual meaning of expressing God's goodness, involves more. It's deep-rooted, it's inspired happiness. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That God gives us joy. So within those 35 different words for joy and the 25 Hebrew, 10 Greek, within them, there are basically two main definitions that emerge. The first is gladness in the Lord. Here's a quote from author and minister S.D. Gordon, who explains why joy is uniquely defined, how it differs from happiness. Joy, he says, is a distinctly Christian word and a Christian thing. It is the reverse of happiness. Happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. But joy has its springs deep down inside. And that spring never runs dry, no matter what happens. Only Jesus can give us that joy. He had joy singing its music within, even under the shadow of the cross. Simply stated, happiness is tied to our circumstances, but joy is not. How else can we make sense of a verse like this from James? Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That doesn't seem to make sense in the human, does it? I wonder, how do we feel living under the burden of coronavirus and all the implications of a pandemic? How can we have joy? How can we be happy with that? But joy cuts through. Joy is not the emotion of how we feel. It's something deep within. It's God himself. Joy comes from the goodness and the gladness of God. So if the first word was gladness to express joy, the second one is rejoicing. Rejoicing describes an outward expression of our internal joy. In the Bible, rejoicing takes the form of leaping, shouting, singing, playing, music, dancing. The Psalms are great places for looking about how rejoicing and joy takes place. Psalm 33, verses 1 and 3. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. Psalm 47. Come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise. I want you to note that two main definitions of biblical joy are connected. Rejoicing flows out of gladness in the Lord, and our gladness in the Lord increases the more that we rejoice. A couple of other verses that mention the word joy that we probably do need to look at. In Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, he says, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this. For today is a sacred day before the Lord your God, for the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." And Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share the gifts of food with people who have nothing. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Joy transcends where we are and our emotions at that point. Joy is something deeper. The next verse you'll probably be familiar with, because of the joy awaiting him. He, that is Jesus, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Joy is a focus before it's a feeling. Jesus had his eyes fixed on the prize, not worrying about the process. Did the nails hurt? Yes, of course they did. But Jesus knew this was part of the process. He looked past the immediate. He looked to the goal. In the midst of pain, joy can still exist. Joy is not the absence of sadness or tears. It's not the presence of the spectacular. It's the presence of God. Jesus didn't find joy in the event, but in the guaranteed outcome of the event. For us to just choose joy is not something we can just decide and flick a switch and have it and say, "Oh, I saw this on Instagram, this cute little post, it said choose joy, I'll have that then." It's more than that. We need to be not praying for a feeling, but making choices, spending time with God, spending time with Jesus in his presence, you and Jesus together. Do you know one of the worst ways you can try and achieve joy or happiness is saying, "Am I happy? Am I really happy? Am I as happy as them?" Do you spend time doom scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever thing? "Well, my life doesn't match up with them. Oh, I'd be happy if I had that. I'd be happy." Do you compare the car you drive or the clothes you wear or homes you've got or the phone you've got? Even what is in someone else's supermarket trolley? "Oh, would I be happy if I had that for tea rather than what I've got?" Do you know, don't judge yourself against other people, against their calling, against their possessions. Nothing destroys joy like comparison. So don't let joy destroy what you've already got. The joy of your salvation, the joy of the Lord, the joy of what God's called you to, the joy of who you are in Christ. Galatians tells us that joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Who doesn't want that in their lives? And Psalm 28 verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving," which is a bit of a Radio 2 link into our second value here, thanksgiving. We, of all people, should be a grateful people. We've got an awful lot to be grateful for. What does the Bible say about it? Quite a bit, actually. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Be thankful in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." 1 Chronicles 16, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Or Ephesians 5, verse 20, give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to practice being thankful. I came across this article from the HuffPost. I thought it actually sums up, it brings together first the joy and the thankfulness. Most of us, this is what it says, most of us, even those of us who know better, spend and waste time thinking that things would be better if and when we lose weight, get promoted, move into a nicer place, make more money, get married, have children, get out of debt, have more free time, start our own business, get the kids out of the tire, retire, recover from an injury, recover from illness or setback, whatever else it is we think needs to change in order for us to be happy and fulfilled. But happiness is not having what you want, it's wanting what you have. We have to learn how to want what we already have in our lives with gratitude. Wanting what we have doesn't mean everything is perfect in our lives, which is almost never the case, or that we can't desire for things to change or evolve in a way we deem positive. It simply means we choose to accept what we have in our life right now with a sense of gratitude and surrender. As I did my research for this, I discovered that practicing gratitude, scientific research proves this, practicing gratitude and thankfulness gives higher levels of happiness, a healthier body, it boosts the immune system, it bolsters resilience to stress, it lowers depression, it increases your feeling of energy, of determination and strength, and it even helps you to sleep better at night. If you spend just 2 minutes a day being thankful, it changes the neurological pathways in the brain positively. I encourage you. We've been talking about this in the Wednesday prayer meeting and other meetings for a while now. I thought, just find one thing a day, one thing at the end of each day to be grateful for and thank God for. Let us be a grateful people. It doesn't just have to be at the end of the day. You can do it at any stage. And incidentally, the same thing happens if you're in nature, if you go out for a walk, if you explore God's creation and are grateful for it. It changes your mind, literally. So let us be people of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. That's Psalm 105. And our third word, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a thread that runs throughout the Bible. It features in more than half the books of the Bible. And of course, there is no better example of offering forgiveness than God himself. Psalm 103, he forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. Words you'll be very familiar with. Our Father in heaven, this is from Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do you know, this quote is attributed to so many different people, I can't give you a name. But refusing to forgive is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Forgiveness is something that does you good. Lewis B. Smead says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. In the 2009 film Invictus, Nelson Mandela is played by Morgan Freeman. And he is speaking to the African National Congress in a show of defiance. And this is what the quote is. He says, forgiveness starts here. Forgiveness liberates the soul. It removes fear. That is why it is such a powerful weapon. The past is the past. We look to the future. Proverbs 17 and verse 9 tells us that love prospers when fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Colossians 3:13 tells us that we should bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Ephesians 4 tells us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And Psalm 32, verse 1, it says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight." Now, I have just scratched the surface of these three words, which are one of our values. So you need to do some study for yourself. Why don't you look up joy, thanksgiving, or gratitude? Look up forgiveness. Just do a little bit of research. Discover for yourself the power of these three words. Being joyful, being grateful, being a forgiving person. All of them have their roots in our relationship with Jesus. They're all interconnected. Don't spend your time comparing yourselves with others. Don't be the negative person that drains. Let us focus on what we have already. Let us develop a culture of thankfulness, of forgiving quickly and often. And that includes forgiving ourselves. And most important, prioritize our relationship and our time with Jesus, and joy will come. Thank you very much.